Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. This is Doug Haslam of Voce Communications.
And Jim Storer from the Community Roundtable.
And with us is Rachel Hoppe, also a co-founder of the Community Roundtable, to talk about a couple of recent posts regarding community management.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're actually recording this in your living room, so you've been a gracious host.
Well, Jim has that super soft voice, too.
We call it the velvet. So I guess the first topic A is, what is the difference, if any, between a social media manager and a community manager?
It's something that I think I first addressed probably a couple of years ago now when I was an analyst at IDC. I had a post then, and it was kind of one of those rant impulsive posts called "Social Media is Not Community," because I felt like that too was getting confused in the market space. And to me, social media is a tool by which we use to communicate or build relationships with people, but it's not the community of people that we cultivate to have a goal necessarily. It's just a mechanism for either having a conversation, building a relationship, building community. You can use it in a variety of different ways, but it is not the same thing as community. And so thereby, social media management is not the same thing as community management.
But there probably is a little bit of overlap between what you see community managers doing and what
Actually a lot of overlap, which is, I think, why people are getting confused about it to begin with, which is they're both interactive. They're both mechanisms through which communication and conversation happen. Mm-hmm. And increasingly, you use a lot of social media tools in community building. One thing that I find is kind of different is the orientation of the two. When you're focused on social media and using social media to build an audience or awareness or more conversations, it's very content-based or object-based. And community management is really about the relationship. And you do use, again, content to help focus the conversation and build the relationship. But the end goal is the deeper relationship. Whereas sometimes, not always, with social media, it's about generating content that inspires conversation to happen, whether or not you're a part of that conversation. So a little different, and the difference can be subtle. I see the social media management role as more of a hub in this giant hub and spoke network, whereas the community manager sometimes is often very hidden in a very cross-hatched, interdependent network of relationships. And the community manager is really trying to build relationships between other people, not necessarily just with themselves, and maybe not with themselves at all, really.
So, I guess this boils down to me asking if this is turning into a semantic debate just by the nature of what people are actually doing, regardless of their title. But I'm feeling like that some people who are either social media managers or community managers are feeling that their role encompasses both, or they're not distinguishing it. Do you see the same thing as I? And do you feel like that's a bad confusion, or does it matter?
It depends. And you're right. In some cases, it is a semantic thing, particularly in small and medium-sized businesses where the person that understands the social tools is doing anything associated with those social tools. So whether it's awareness building, which is more social content generation and pushing out to the marketplace, or whether it's building a relationship around a forum on their website, they're responsible for all of that. So to them, it probably doesn't matter, although I would say that one of the reasons I think it matters is because there's operational decisions that differ quite a bit depending on what your priorities are. So if you're trying to build relationships, you may not spend as much time on content creation. You may be spending most of your time trying to get people to have more informal interactions with each other, more discursive interactions, and kind of guide the programming of that community in such a way that it addresses an end goal. So I think there's a lot of operational decisions that change that then are reflective in the cost and the scale of your programming, the types of resources you hire. The people that are really good at building social content are not always the same people that are good at building relationships and really listening to people. And that's a big point for companies to understand and just think about when they're building programs.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit because, you know, you mentioned who these people are, right? Who am I looking for? If I'm a CMO and I want to find a social media manager, what do they look like?
So, and this gets to actually an interesting blog post by Umair Haque in the Harvard Business Review called The Social Media Bubble. And he was talking about the devaluation of relationships given the scale of social media. Yes, you have more friends, but the relationships are really shallow. And I would say he kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater on that one. But he had a lot of interesting things to say too, which is you can have a lot of connections in today's world online through social media channels, and they're nothing more than kind of minor exchanges, and they don't represent a lot of value.
Friends with a Z.
Exactly. So if I'm in, and the example I used in my blog post about this, and I don't mean to necessarily pick on Newell Rubbermaid, but if I'm selling Sharpie pens, I don't need a really deep relationship with someone to convince them to spend $5 on a package of pens. What I want to do is inspire them to think of using Sharpies in new ways. I want to allow users to demonstrate how they've used Sharpies. That's not a really deep relationship. Not discounting the fact that it's connection, but it's not a hugely deep relationship. Now, if I'm Oracle and I'm building huge, complex software systems that run the operations of a company, that's a whole different type of relationship that I need with my customer base, or my employee base for that matter, because the use and the adoption and the sale of that product are really complicated decisions. And hooking up customers or employees that are struggling with a lot of those complex decisions is really critical to sharing information, knowledge, learning, increasing the velocity of how that complexity is communicated. So, you know, on that end, it's really clear you need more community environments. On the Sharpie end, it's really clear that social media and social content distribution is really the goal. So it depends a lot on the environment you're in, the context you're in, and what you're trying to do. Are you trying to get somebody to buy a $5 item? Are you trying to get them to recommend a $5 item, which may be a different thing?
So I'm thinking then, if I want to look for examples of community management and relationship building and maintaining, maybe I'm better off going to a big B2B enterprise software salesperson or a customer now, relationship person within that.
In the B2C world, you see it, but you see it in different places. Mm-hmm. So if I have channel managers and they're distributing through Walmart, that relationship is really rich and complex because the supply chain is really rich and complex. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going to see communities deployed in B2C environments.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think of that as a B2B or B2B2C, where you're talking about the supply chain.
Yeah.
Is it because in B2C, you've got a scaling problem where you got thousands upon thousands of people, they hope,
millions.
Millions of people buying Sharpie pens and using them versus a more finite number of people in the supply chain that they're trying to influence to stock their stores?
It is a little bit. You can't possibly have a deep relationship with millions of people. Like, it's not a relationship. That's an interaction. There is, however, you know, something Jim and I call cheeseheads, which are really strong advocates of your brand who do really edgy, innovative things and are constantly promoting it themselves. A B2C company may have a community of those people that they're influencers that they really want to build deep relationships with, so that those influencers have the latest information. That's a little bit of more of a community management function. Mm-hmm. And I think this may also be why people get confused because there's often a community within this huge network of people, and you may be doing a little bit of both. So I happen to think it's useful to clarify what your goal is with the broader audience and then the smaller audience of enthusiasts. You're actually doing two different things. You're trying to get the network to buy the product, and you're trying to get your enthusiasts to really understand what the company is doing and what all the initiatives are so that they have more content and information to share themselves. So to me, that's two separate things and requires different management, even if it's the same person.
So should the B2C companies with the large customer base, so we're talking about having the relationships with the enthusiasts, and then perhaps take those enthusiasts making their own communities, kind of letting that go a bit, but being able to scale by enabling the enablers?
Yes, absolutely. And Beth Hart uses this example all the time, and this is more of a non-sponsored community, but she loves silk scarves, you know, for Hermé or any of those companies that makes Liberty of London, that makes silk scarves. That community is really important to them because they influence a much broader set of people. So in that case, community management is totally appropriate, but you do need to understand that you're not trying to get them just to buy. You're trying to get them to advocate in your behalf, and that's a different business outcome. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say just because you're in the B2C, there's no opportunity for community management, but there's different business outcomes that you're looking for. And sometimes social media is the appropriate tool. Sometimes community is the appropriate tool.
I want to go back to a question I asked just a couple of minutes ago. If I'm the CMO, who's that person? What do they look like? What kind of hiring characteristics should I be looking for?
For me, social media really revolves around understanding trends in the marketplace, understanding content creation, being a good content creator, understand what gets shared and how to do that quickly, easily, and be accessible from a conversation perspective and be human. So that role is really about humanizing the brand and being available for conversation with people. I would look for somebody who's both bright and proactive and chatty, very, very social. You want somebody that's out there constantly kind of talking with everybody.
Can you draw a line from any of the known traditional disciplines to the social media position, whether it be just, I'll just say PR because I come from a PR background, or other marketing disciplines, or even sales or customer service?
I think there are a lot of marketing disciplines, primarily marketing communication disciplines, because that's really where you always had most of the content creation in the organization to communicate what the company is doing. So they have to have that lens on the content that they're working on. I think this is where you get a lot of people looking for the younger generation, because all of the social content is distributed via blogs and YouTube and SlideShare and all of these new content technology mechanisms that the younger generation understands better. So I think there is validity to looking for that skill set. It's not 100% that it's going to be a young person, but there's a higher likelihood that somebody in their 20s is going to do that better than somebody in their 40s.
I mean, we've also seen just in some of the calls that we've run with members that it needs to be someone that's got a little bit of experience. They understand, you know, the business goals and things like that. The other thing I just add that I think we've seen, and I think it also came up in Brian Halligan's book,
Inbound marketing
about reach. When you're hiring for social media, you really want to carefully consider someone that's got reach.
Yep.
So kind of built-in reach that they've
got
to
be
job.
Innate. I mean, our friend Aaron Strout, it's like you gave him an extension on his personality when you gave him social media. It's got to be somebody who really just loves getting out there and talking to people. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that Aaron's a social media manager, but that's the kind of personality that I think of being really, really good in the social media space.
So what about a community manager?
So a community manager, I actually think often looks and feels, from an interaction perspective, pretty different from a social media manager. And in fact, isn't always hugely social in the same way that a social media manager would be. And actually, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit because Jim is somebody that personality-wise, I think of, is a very good community manager. It's somebody who listens extremely well and can draw other people out. That's not necessarily a mirrored skill set to the social one. They can reside together, but it is somebody that has to be okay pausing and waiting. It's not me. I'll just say that. But that person often doesn't appear to be overtly extroverted in that they're not always the one that's the center of attention. They're the one that is hosting the party. They're bringing out the hors d'oeuvres. They're introducing people to each other. They're making sure all those other people are making the connections that they need to be productive.
I just have one question more, and that is, since we talk about the whole, what fuels this topic is the confusion or the interchangeability mm-hmm. of these terms. And from a PR person, from a person who's been at agencies, but also has been in-house, so speaking for any of those people who are trying to talk about community and social media in the same breath, what do you have to say to them?
So on the PR communication side, I actually think from my interactions, and of course this is biased because it's my perspective and it's colored
and
by
you used
the,
to get pitched as an IDC
yeah,
analyst.
It's okay. The PR people that I've had interactions with. I actually think PR and communication people sometimes make better community managers than they do social media managers because their role has traditionally been somewhat behind the scenes. They're the ones orchestrating interactions between other people. They're not often the ones who know and are talking a lot about the products that they're working with. They're the ones that are giving a platform for the people who do talk a lot about the product and the service to talk to the influencers. So I actually see that as a skill of a community manager rather than the social media manager. Now, that's not universally true, of course, but that's kind of my perspective on that.
Rachel Happy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable. To comment on what you've heard, email Doug at voceconnect.com or Jim at community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on our blog.